Good morning. It is Kale and Company right here on WKXL and HTalkRadio.com. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday morning as we welcome back to our microphones from Weed Family Automotive in downtown Concord, Store Street, 124 Store Street, Dan Weed. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is always our pleasure. Great to have you with us. And folks, before this hour is over, we will have our world-famous cartoon coming your way. And it's a good one. It's a good one. And it's, I think, rather appropriate for our times as... I won't give you the title of the song right now, but it has something to do with the fact that our gas prices seem to be escalating once again with the conflict in the Middle East. Seems to have had quite an impact on gas prices in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've noticed particularly even in the outlying areas, the prices have gone up 10 to 15 cents or more.
Yeah. So... it has something to do with that, folks, in a way. Let's put it like that. And we are presented by Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. Dan is always the picture of preparedness as he comes into the studio armed with all kinds of material. And, you know, I try to do some research and write down a few questions, but Dan always comes in with some great stuff. And one of the things that intrigues me that you have right in front of you, Dan, is Consumer Reports. And four of the five least expensive car brands to maintain are American.
Imagine that.
How about that, yeah. Sports fans? there you go.
Is that something that you thought you would ever have seen coming out of Consumer Reports, that four out of the five top 10
right.
are American brand cars?
No, I did not.
Take a wild guess. We'll start with number one.
The number one
least expensive car coming out of Consumer Reports.
Yes.
To maintain.
Yes.
And this is through 1 to 10 years.
Yep.
Is a Tesla.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They said 10-year average for Tesla, and maybe my memory is way too short, but I didn't think Teslas have been around for 10 years, but anything's possible.
I wouldn't have thought, but maybe.
Right around $4,000 for a 10-year period for maintenance on a Tesla.
Wow, that's not bad.
That's assuming that the battery lasts 10 years.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So Tesla is number one in terms of low-cost maintenance.
Yeah.
Like $400 a year. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty inexpensive.
I would say. Do you work on many?
Yeah, we have quite a few that we've been servicing.
Yeah.
We've got one of the Lucid Airs that we've been servicing, a bunch of Teslas, a couple of the Hyundais, and we've seen, well, they don't make them anymore, but the Chevy Volts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So what's the primary, if there is a common issue with those electric vehicles, what would it be?
So far, the number one thing that we've seen is tire wear. The tire wear on most of the electric vehicles seems to be a lot more aggressive than your regular car. And we've done some discussions with different shop owners, and we're all seeing the same thing, that, and particularly on the Tesla line, we've seen tires as soon as 12 to 15,000 miles wear out. Yeah.
Now, why?
So it comes down to a couple of different factors that we've decided on. One is the weight of the car. The cars are typically 500 to 1,000 pounds heavier than your regular car. And then a lot of it comes down to the braking system in the car. So, and we don't typically think of what we call the regenerative braking on the electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles. But you're now, you know, instead of creating traction going forward, you now need that traction during deceleration as well. So you've got tire wear during acceleration and deceleration now, even more so that with the electric vehicles and the regenerative braking. So those are the two main factors that we've come down to looking at for what we would describe as excessive tire wear on some of these EVs.
You know, I was just looking while you were talking about that, the weight of the electric vehicles. In 2008, Tesla Motors released its first car.
Oh, okay.
The completely electric Roadster.
Yep.
There you go. How about that?
So then, if my math is correct, then that's been 16 years.
16 years. Well, you know, as they say, Dan, time flies when you're having fun, right? Boy,
yeah.
Who would have thunk 16 years that they've been a part of our world? So Tesla is number one in terms of the low-cost maintenance.
Yep.
What is number two?
Number two would be your Buick.
Okay.
Three came in at Toyota. Fourth is Lincoln, then Ford, then Chevrolet. And then to top off, round out the top 10, you have Hyundai, Nissan, Mazda, and Honda.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So there you have it, folks.
And, you know, we got to look at the other end of the scale, too.
Yes, so expensive.
The most expensive. So we went from a $4,000 10-year maintenance cost on a Tesla to, drum roll, please, top of the list is your Land Rover. A 10-year cost is $19,250 in maintenance on a Land Rover.
10 years. All right. Yeah. So that's like almost $2,000 a year
exactly.
to maintain a Land Rover. Now, why is that?
A lot of it is parts cost and just the general cost to repair. So we find that in the European models, you know, whether it's Land Rover, Porsche, Audi, BMW, Volvo, the cost of parts and maintenance and whatnot is typically 1 to 2 times higher than your Toyota, Honda, Chevy, Ford type of stuff. So just your overall parts cost more than anything. And labor, too. I mean, if you take it back to the dealer, you know, you're in the 250 range now, give or take, for labor at some of these, you know, high-end dealers.
Wow. So, you know, speaking of parts and that sort of thing, the last time you were in here was just a day after the bridge collapse, the bridge accident in Baltimore Harbor. How has that impacted your industry?
Well, so far, I'll say that we've been fairly unscathed by it.
Okay.
And we really haven't seen any major disruptions. They got one of the shipping channels opened pretty quickly within a couple of weeks to get that chunk of the bridge out of the water. And they're still working on it. But so far, the car makers and manufacturers have been able to reroute to different ports and work around it. So somewhat seamlessly.
Really? Well, that's good news anyway. Yeah.
The initial reports coming out that this was going to cripple the automotive industry as far as, you know, parts availability and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, you know, cross our fingers, we've come out relatively unscathed.
And what about vehicles coming into the country?
Same thing. They've been able to reroute them to different ports.
Yeah.
And so we really haven't seen a major issue with it so far.
So they've been able to work that out.
Yeah,
fairly well.
And now it might impact the end result. You know, if your shipping costs go up, the cost of the vehicles go up. So you have to figure that into it. You know, what we saw in the past year or so, all the union renegotiations with major manufacturers, and that's going to have an impact on the car prices as well. So right now, again, cross our fingers, we've come out of this pretty well.
I guess, yeah.
And even, you know, looking at automotive news, they had a whole article on it, and some of the industry analysts have said it's nowhere near as bad as we thought it was going to be, and we've come out of this pretty well.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes.
If there's any positive to come out of it, it's that things are fairly normal as a result in the wake of that massive tragedy in Baltimore. But I'm sure the commuters in Baltimore are feeling the impact every day.
I think they probably have a different thing to say about it and probably not too happy about it and won't be for many, many years. I mean, it's not like you can build a new bridge overnight, so to speak.
Right, exactly. Weed Family Automotive, Dan Weed is here, and they're located at 124 Store Street in Concord. Open right now. You can make an appointment immediately, if not sooner. How's the waiting at this point?
We're doing pretty good. We're 3 days to 5 days out typically right now, so not too bad.
So it is the 23rd of April.
Hmm. So and what does that mean, Ken?
That means, a week and a little bit more to get that inspection done.
Right.
Yeah.
And we could...
If you're an April baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah. An April baby. Yeah. And plus, April is now the time to get your antique cars out as well and get those inspected.
Ah. Now, how often do they have to be inspected?
It depends on the age of the car. So under 40 years, it's every year, just like we typically do.
Okay.
Over 40 years, it's every 2 years.
Yeah.
And as long as it's registered as an antique, then after 60 years, there's no more inspection.
No more inspections after 60 years. Well, I can't wait for that 60th year to come along when I own my Honda. We will take a break. Kale and Company continues right here, WKXL. Dan Weed in the house. We have our cartoon coming up in just a short time right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We're presented by Northeast Delta Dental. And we'll take your calls if you have a question for Dan. 603-224-1450. 603-224-1450. Back right after these words. Back, Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Again, if you have any questions for Dan Weed from Weed Family Automotive, this is the time to call, 603-224-1450. And Dan, I was surprised to see, I have never owned a Jeep, but I've seen the last 5 years that the market share of Jeep has been going down, and as a result, they've hired a new CEO to see if he can get it rejuvenated. And what's the deal? I thought Jeeps are always pretty popular.
Well, I think if you go back and look at the history of the Jeep, you know, it came out of World War II with the old military Jeeps, if you will, or the Willys Jeep. Then we went into the CJ series, CJ 5, 6, 7, stuff like that. And then they went into the Wrangler series, and that seems to have been their staple over the years. But some of their other products, from their little Patriot and Liberty and whatnot, just didn't have a great track record overall. We saw them constantly at the shop for repairs and breakdowns and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think that really hurt Jeep overall. Now, they've come up with a couple of new models in their lineup. They brought the Grand Wagoneer back to compete in the big SUV line. Their Wrangler and stuff and Saharas and whatnot, that style of Jeep has always done well, but I think it's the rest of their lineup that's really hurting them, so to speak. Mm. And plus on top of that, they've got some pretty stiff competition in that market now from a lot of different players. But personally, I think Ford is really going to take a chunk out of them with their new style full-size Bronco. It's a really sharp-looking truck, a little retro styling to it. And some of my guys' friends that do off-roading are starting to gravitate more from going away from the Jeep to the Bronco. They said some of the off-road capabilities of the Bronco are much better than what the Jeep has right out of the box. So so it was really interesting to hear that. And that was just a couple of weeks ago at a meeting that I went to in Houston and was talking to one of the guys. And he said, oh, yeah, by far, I like my Bronco far and away much better than his Jeep. And he was always been a Jeep guy, right to the core.
That's really something.
Kind of interesting to hear that. And my wife and I were up in the Guilford area. I think it was around Bike Week a couple of years ago, interestingly enough. And they had a whole tour with the Ford Bronco going up Gunstock Mountain and doing some off-road training with the Broncos. They had like 8 or 10 of them at the time, and you were with a professional driver or whatnot going through this course. And something I really hadn't seen, to be honest with you, with the Jeeps, but it was kind of neat to watch with the Bronco.
Wow, that is something. And we know who put the Bronco on the map. We won't... Oh, yeah. Passed away last week.
Yep.
Let's see. The National Transportation folks are upgrading their probe into braking issues in 3 million Honda vehicles.
Interesting. Okay.
50 injuries have been reported as a result, as well as 31 crashes and almost 1,300 complaints alleging inadvertent activation.
All right.
Of the brakes in those Hondas involved.
So some something's going on with the anti-lock brake system or collision avoidance system then, causing the car to brake on its own.
On its own. So we're, yeah, that's rather scary.
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, it's no different than what we saw a number of years ago with, as they described it, the unintended acceleration of a vehicle.
Right.
Which, interestingly enough, I did some research. I was talking with some guys that I know over the weekend. One of the guy's wife was driving last week, and all of a sudden the car just wouldn't stop. I mean, the throttle was going, it was like full throttle. She couldn't shut it off. She couldn't put it in neutral. Nothing would happen. And talking to another guy, and he said, oh, yeah, that very same day, there was reports of a whole bunch of Teslas that had issues. And so we were just chatting about it, that they couldn't stop these cars. They couldn't, they were, again, unintended acceleration. And we were talking a little more in depth about it. There was no recall issue. There doesn't seem to be any common theme. But we got to thinking that I wonder if somebody got in and hacked the software system in some fashion.
Wow. And that's possible.
It is possible, yeah.
Wow. That is something. Yeah. Well, it had to be. I mean, if it was such a, such an outbreak in one particular time, you'd have to think.
It was within a day or two period of time with certain brand and model cars. And so we're thinking to ourselves, outside the box, what else could it be? A software glitch or something like that. But again, Chrysler had this issue a number of years ago where people were hacking into the cars while they were driving. So is it possible that that was the cause of what was going on?
Wow, that is something. That's scary.
It is.
It is very scary. So at any rate, Dan keeps up on all these publications, all the trends in the automotive world, and one trend we see is kind of, to put it bluntly, the unpopularity at this point in time of the electric vehicles.
Yeah, we'll put it in a different terminology, the scaling back.
Okay. Okay.
But I was looking at the most recent issue that I've got of, again, automotive news, and I'm thumbing through just looking at the headlines. And one after another of car manufacturers scaling back on EVs and EV productions, and a couple of them saying that, EVs aren't the fix to this whole problem. But just one article is just, there must have been 10 different headlines or bylines about EV production being scaled back or possibly even done away with altogether.
And wow. I thought we were all supposed to have one by 2035.
Well, that might have been somebody else's pipe dream. But
well, Elon Musk, I read this, that he is facing some questions from skeptics that Tesla stopped the manufacturing of an affordable EV.
Sure.
I put that in air quotes, affordable EV, in favor of a dedicated robo-taxi without human controls. And all of this as Tesla sales dropped in the first quarter of this year, and some rather significant price cuts have now been launched by Tesla.
Yes, one of the headlines, again, out of Automotive News, is tough EV market, a drag on Tesla's quarter one sales. So their quarter one sales dropped by some 20%, I believe it was.
Wow, that's significant.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But more and more we see the scaling back on the EV thing and whatnot. But as far as Tesla and the self-driving cars, you got to look at the big picture and where is he going to make the most money? Is he going to scale back and produce a inexpensive EV, inexpensive Tesla?
Right.
Or can he go out and sell thousands of these cars to a fleet for autonomous driving?
Yeah.
Where's the money? And the money, I would tell you it's going to be in a much larger fleet. So
how is the autonomous driving world going these days?
Depends on who you ask, I guess. I still am seeing reports that, even the self-driving cars, you have to have somebody in there to oversee what's going on. Right now, AI is everywhere, and that's what they're using to do self-driving cars. It's cameras, it's, decision-making, it's collision avoidance, all these things wrapped together. And so they're using this, if you will, artificial intelligence to drive the car, and it's not perfected yet, And so until they get that perfected, I don't know that there's truly ever going to be any perfection to it. but there still needs to be oversight, whether somebody's sitting in the car or you have an extra set of eyes on the car to make sure that it's calculating everything possible.
Yeah. And you know, you've stated on a number of occasions on this show that you like the electric car technology.
Yep.
You like everything about it. But the one drawback is, and this is probably going to go on for quite some time to come, is the fact that there aren't enough charging stations and not enough infrastructure to go around.
Right. And, you know, Tesla obviously has done an amazing job at their charging stations and whatnot. And, of course, with most of the major car manufacturers adopting the Tesla charging standard, I think you're going to see a proliferation of these Tesla charging stations. But much like anything else, you've got to have somebody to build them, install them, maintain them. And then we still need the infrastructure, the grid, to be able to support it as well. You know, I looked at one of the local car dealers here, put a massive charging station out in their front lot. And one of the, if you will, power inputs to it is this major transformer that's like 8 foot by 8 foot. So what did that truly cost to do that? And, you know, with power plants and everything shutting down around the country, where's all this energy going to come from?
That is the question, folks, that that we face, and maybe the reluctance of many not to purchase an electric vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be the drop. Price, maybe, for some, but, you know, any new car you buy these days is going to be expensive.
Right.
Just a little bit more for the electric vehicle, or maybe quite a bit more in some cases. But that may not be the number one issue. I think the number one issue is the lack of infrastructure in this country. People are afraid to take long trips in an electric vehicle.
Range anxiety, yes.
Yeah, right. Range anxiety. That's a good way to put it. We'll take a break. Dan Weed is here. If you'd like to ask Dan a question about your vehicle, electric or not, 603-224-1450 is the number to call. We will be right back. We still have our cartoon of the day coming up right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Dan Weed is in the house, ladies and gentlemen, from Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. And you can make your appointment right now for maybe a state inspection that you need by the end of this month. I know you have a little grace period into May as well, but 603-225-7988, 603-225-7988. And off the air, we were just talking about Dan has driven his share of electric vehicles. You say it's not like what most people would think.
No, I think, you know, the image of the electric vehicle first out was similar to like a golf cart, you know, just kind of putting along, so to speak. But the
no pun intended, or was there?
You never know. And so that image of that golf cart and electric car is pretty well gone at this point. I mean, and the performance of some of these electric cars is pretty amazing. Tesla Plaid, which is their high-performance model, says it has almost 1,000 horsepower at the wheels, all right? And their 0 to 60 time of 1.99
seconds. 1.99
seconds,
you go from 0 to 60.
0 to 60, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see an electric car race sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. They have a whole EV drag racing series. And,
do they? Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's pretty neat to watch, you know. But for me, that purist, if you will, to see a dragster go down a quarter-mile strip or 600-foot strip, whatever it is, you know, 2,000 horsepower and flames coming out the pipes just the feel and the sound
you
of it.
You love it. Love it. New England Dragway.
Yep.
Sunday!
Funny cars under the stars.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to admit, Dan, I have, you know, I hate to admit this publicly, but I will. I've never been to New England Dragway.
Oh, you haven't?
Never. I'm going to have to put it on my list. Yeah. Because I'd love to see it. I would love to see it up close and personal.
Yeah. It's a great experience. Yeah. If you've never been, you know, take the time and go see what some of these guys are doing down there and some of the amazing, you know, some of the technology that we use every day comes out of a lot of the different racing series, whether it's drag racing, whether it's, you know, the Formula One or even some of the NASCAR stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of what we drive every day comes from those platforms. So, but to see the power and performance, Tesla, I'd like to see what their quarter mile time is. You know, if you're going 0 to 60 in 2 seconds,
right?
Can they do, you know, a quarter mile in under 8 or 9 seconds?
Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes they even have like school bus races out there, don't they? Yeah. At New England Dragway.
Yep, they do. And they have school bus drag races. I think our governor, Chris Sununu, was down there for once.
Really? Yeah. Did he? Yeah. He drove a school bus?
Well, I don't know if he drove, but at least got a ride.
He was there. He was there.
Yeah. And they got the wheelie cars too, so you get to see them do a wheelie all the way down the drag strip and whatnot.
Yeah.
Of course, they have the jet cars under the stars as well, and to see the jet drag racers is pretty amazing. I took my grandson to that.
Yeah.
They had a couple of the big Kenworth or semi trucks with jet engines on them, and again, it's just really neat to see some of the stuff that they do.
It must be. It must be. And it must be pretty loud, too.
It is. Bring your hearing protection.
Bring your earplugs. Or if you're deaf like me, you don't have to worry about it. it is. I mean, New England Dragway, I mean, it's been around for a long time. I mean, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Hearing the commercials on Boston radio when I was a kid. But I still have never made it there. Huh. I've got to do it.
I have to put that on your list to do this year.
I've got to do it. Because, I mean, it is really one of the most famous drag strips in the country, right?
One of them, yeah. And it's been around for a long time, so there's a part of the history. And of course, like anything else, there was a threat of it being sold a year or two ago. And all the partners that own the dragway got together and said, no, we're not going to sell it. This is too important for the motorsports crowd, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, We like to think of all the major events that go on down there, you know, IHRA, NHRA, and whatnot. You know, we talk about funny cars under the stars and the jet cars and whatnot. But there's a series that go on almost every week down there for guys like me that want to build a drag car and whatnot. And so you can go down and watch the everyday people, if you will, rather than just the superstars come in and race what they have. And even some of that's pretty neat to watch.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. So I'm going to put that on my calendar, New England Dragway.
We'll make it a date.
Is the season underway?
I think they're about ready to open, but it's still early yet. I mean, we're just barely into coming into May, but typically by the end of May, I think Memorial Day is one of their big shows. So,
So what else is happening or not happening in the automotive world?
Oh, all sorts of stuff is going on. You know, that's one thing that's really neat about what we do is it changes so quickly. And, you know, I never would have imagined that when I first got into the industry that, you know, to fix a lot of the stuff that we fix nowadays, we'd be dealing with computer networks and, you know, uploading software and whatnot. But, you know, here we are, and it's an everyday event that we've got to reprogram a car, put different software in it and whatnot. So it's really neat to see that. You know, we talked about the self-driving cars, and a lot of that bits and pieces of that are in your everyday car from, you know, the collision avoidance systems and things like that. So, you know, that's stuff that we see every day on a routine basis, you know, to deal with sensors and computers and different trouble codes. You know, everybody thinks of just the check engine light, but when your average car these days has anywhere from 10 to 20 plus different computers in it, that it makes it interesting. You know, you never know what you're going to run into.
So does it, from your perspective, running an automotive repair shop, does it make it easier to work on vehicles or more difficult?
Well, I'm going to tell you it's more difficult. And so, you know, a lot of the technology that we need to fix cars comes with a price. You know, whether it's reprogramming, whether it's the diagnostic tools, and, you know, all that comes at a cost. And so, and we're working on multitudes of different vehicles rather than just one particular brand. You know, if you are, say, working in a Ford dealer or Chevy dealer or Toyota dealer, you're seeing those same cars day after day after day, and you get to know them really, really well, which is good. But I've also seen the flip side of it where you have somebody that's all they've worked on, but and you give them a different brand to work on, and they can't translate that to the next brand. So what we do in the independent world, I think, is a bit more challenging. And part of our challenge is we have to rely on the manufacturers for certain information. We had the Right to Repair Act come out recently in the last couple of years, and it hasn't quite played out the way we had hoped. The manufacturers found a loophole, the lawmakers left a loophole in the rulemaking, and the manufacturers have taken advantage of it. So we don't always get the information that we need to repair cars from the manufacturers. And so that makes it even more challenging. And some manufacturers are great at sharing information, and others are holding it really, really tight to the chest.
Really reluctant to have their vehicles serviced anywhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. Dan Weed is here from Weed Family Automotive. And again, an award-winning location that has been around now for many, many years. How many years now, Dan?
We've been out there for 29 years this year.
29 years. Yeah. And still going strong at 124 Storage Street, running adjacent to Main Street in Concord. If you drop your car off there, the service is very quick. But if you want to, like when I drop mine off, I like to go get a cup of coffee or breakfast somewhere. Easy walk to a number of establishments now, more than ever before.
Yeah, we're conveniently located one block off of Main Street, basically.
There you go.
It's a nice walk up to Main Street, and there's a lot of great establishments on Main Street. If you like a little bit of history, you can go visit the State House, do a little tour of the State House.
You can do that in the meantime. Yeah. But usually it doesn't take long, folks, and they'll keep you posted as to what's going on with your vehicle. If there's something that you didn't realize was wrong with your vehicle, they'll let you know that and tell you about it and what to do and what can be done. So the greatest shop around. There's no doubt about that. So give them a call right now for an appointment. 603-225-7988. Who's standing by?
We have Bobby and Ronnie standing by today.
Bobby and Ronnie. There you go. The dream team.
Right.
At Weed Family Automotive, 124 Storage Street in downtown Concord. And during the next segment, we promise that we will play our cartoon of the day.
There you go.
Right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we will be right back. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you along with us. We have Dan Weed in studio, but for a limited time only, but he'll be back shortly, we hope. And if you have any questions, sneak it in now, 603-224-1450, before we get to our cartoon of the day here on WKXL. And Dan always comes up with something creative. I think this one is very timely, as a matter of fact. But before that, anything else going on that we should know about?
Yeah, I'd like to do a quick little shout out to one of our local dealers. They've been around for a long time, since the 40s or 50s, I believe. And I happened to work there for a period of time. But they actually happened to get a Dealer of the Year award.
Well, congratulations.
So congratulations out to Tracy Banks and Bank Chevrolet Buick GMC. They got their GMC Dealer of the Year award for the area. So congratulations, you guys.
Absolutely.
Great job to her team, sales team, service team, and everybody else involved. And way to go, guys.
That is terrific. Well, congratulations to Tracy and everyone at Bank Chevrolet for what they've been doing for many, many years.
Yes.
Certainly a pillar of this Concord community. And so there you go. Congratulations, and richly deserved. And Dan, why don't we talk about the selection you picked for our cartoon of the day.
So this is something you definitely don't want to let happen to your car. All right. So we'll go with that. This song came out in, let's see, 1977.
Oh, so it's relatively new.
Yeah. actually reached number three on the Billboard top albums in 78. And I believe the song topped out at around number 11 as a single.
Any guesses, folks, as you're driving?
As you're driving along and you don't want this to happen.
Any guesses? Let it play, Andrew, and people will recognize it immediately, I do believe. Very recognizable song. Right here on WKXL, it's our cartoon of the day. Thanks to Dan Weed and Weed Family Automotive of Concord. Jackson Browne.
Right running here on empty.
On WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com.
Turn to
There you go, Jackson Brown, running on empty. Don't do that. Now, you know, people, some people, is it a wives' tale that it's not good for your vehicle to run very low on gas, or does it matter?
Oh, no, it does make a difference.
It does make a difference.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, those folks that like to run that tank all the way down to the low fuel light comes on.
Yep.
You have a potential of burning out the fuel pump prematurely because you actually rely on the gas in the tank to cool that pump off.
Oh. So, okay.
For those.
So when should you start thinking about, you know, going to the pump?
Personally, I typically don't let the car get much below an eighth of a tank, typically a quarter at most, because, okay. And my reasoning for that is a couple things. Is A, the fuel pump is a concern, but more importantly, all of a sudden, if you get stuck in traffic for 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever it happens to be,
yeah.
You know, you come into an accident or you have to take a detour, you want to make sure you have a little backup there to be able to make it around or get, you know, hang out there for an hour or two, whatever it happens to be. So you never know. So I like to personally, I typically don't go much below a quarter or eighth of a tank myself. So
probably good advice, folks. Don't wait until that light comes on. You know, get it at a quarter of a tank at the very least. So good advice from Dan Weed. Although, you know, people are trying, you know, some people say, well, I'm going to put it off for maybe another day or so to see if those prices go down.
But, yeah, we have seen quite the jump in prices, gas prices the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and they've jumped at least 20 cents over the last 2 weeks in most locations.
And has anybody given you an indication of the cause of it?
I think a lot of it is the conflict in the Middle East right now.
So I personally struggle with that because here we are you know, the number one country in the world, supposedly, and we produce our own oil, we drill for our own oil and everything like that. And I know there's a big push for oil independence, so to speak, but if we can produce enough oil to supply ourselves, why does the markets overseas affect our gas prices that dramatically?
Yeah, well, you'd have to ask somebody a lot smarter than me. But at any rate, all I know is that, you know, we all know the day that Joe Biden took office, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Mm-hmm. And it seems like since that time, the gas prices have gone up. I mean, at one time we were completely energy independent.
Right.
And now we depend on some of our most dreaded enemies for supplying us with oil.
Right, so. our most trusted enemies.
Yeah. Well, you can hear that traveling music, Dan Weed, unfortunately, because it's always great to have you in studio and have you back real soon and come up with another great cartoon for us. And any parting shots before we have to wrap it up?
Well, I guess it's time for me to head out with the music, and because I'm not running on empty.
You are not running on empty. You're running right back to 124 Store Street and doing some great maintenance on vehicles and state inspections, too. It's the 23rd, so technically you have a week to go if you were born in April. But the state does grant you a little clemency.
Yeah, a little bit. As long as the car is registered, don't forget to register it.
Don't forget to register that vehicle and get it inspected because it's very important. You know, I heard from you, Dan Weed, last time that we had more states that don't have inspection programs than do.
That is correct.
That, to me, is mind-boggling. Yeah, unbelievable.
If some of our legislators have their way, we won't have an inspection program.
Well, so. I hope that does not happen.
Me too.
That'll be it for this edition of Cale & Company. Thanks to Dan Weed once again. Make an appointment right now, 603-225-7988. And remember, folks, to always look on the bright side of life. And have a great Tuesday, everybody. Thank you, Dan.
Take care.